Let me say, I believe this is a clarification, but it's also a fix. It's a fix of a bill that, through mischaracterization and confusion, has come to be greatly misunderstood.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Final Four this weekend. Indiana Governor Mike Pence yesterday trying to put the fire out that was started in no small part by him. Rick Pearson joins me now. Let's talk some politics. Rick, of course, host of the Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. Sunday morning. Who's the guest this week?
I've got Brian Hopkins, who's a second ward aldermanic candidate that's in a tight runoff as we approach Election Day on Tuesday.
We will get to the mayor's race. We'll get to the book tour, the Blagojevich book tour. No, not that one, the other one. Dick Durbin-Chuck Schumer fight. Of course, the continued talk about a treaty in Iran. Hillary's latest, oops, did I say that? That wasn't me, was it? And other things. But let's start with Indiana. So it seems to me that this is a very simple fix that Governor Mike Pence, who I think at one point had 2016 presidential aspirations, doesn't want to admit he needs. I mean, is there a different read on it than that?
No, I think, you know, by playing that clip, that shows the kind of the dichotomy of statements of supporters of the bill. You know, he admits it's a fix, but says that the bill's been mischaracterized. And, you know, in interviews with various supporters of this law, as well as the one that Arkansas lawmakers recently passed, when asked directly, does this allow someone to discriminate against gay or lesbian couples? The answer is no, there's nothing that allows any discrimination. But then the second part of the answer is, but people who have a religious objection don't have to participate.
Yeah, so it is or it isn't.
Right, yes. It's a yes or no question that no one answers.
So how much damage has he done to himself in state first, and does he have any shot to get a national thing going now?
You know, the damage is tremendous. And, you know, when you see it's you're talking about companies, you're talking about the sporting world, obviously, you know, right on the eve of NCAA Final Four, the damage is just outstanding. And, you know, the mere fact that, you know, Pence signed this bill behind closed doors, didn't allow any press coverage. I mean, you know, this is it's just a mind-boggling political downfall, really, and certainly damages the reputation of Indiana in anybody's eyes.
Talking with my friend Rick Pearson, finest political writer in America, in your Chicago Tribune and ChicagoTribune.com. Bob Menendez is the senior senator from New Jersey, and for more than a year, I'd say closer to two, if not bordering on three, there's been suspicion of Menendez committing ethics violations that involved a big bucks donor and maybe trips to see some high-end hookers in South or Central America. I mean, it seems like it's all coming to a head finally.
Yes, finally now with these indictments by the federal government. And, of course, Menendez now stepping down from his role on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. One of the, bringing this a little bit closer to home, Menendez and Illinois Republican Senator Mark Kirk have been two of the chief, I would say, real hawks when it comes to the whole issue of a nuclear agreement with Iran and sanctions against Iran for trying to put together a nuclear weapons program. So now in the light of these negotiations and the stepped up negotiations going on but between the P5 and trying to reach an Iranian nuclear deal, it'd be very interesting to see, you know, how the legislation in the Senate, which was a Kirk Menendez production, how and if that proceeds.
Let's stay in the Senate for a second. Dick Durbin and Chuck Schumer seem to be friends for a very long time. I believe, weren't they roommates at one point?
Yeah, they were the kind of the basis for that series on Amazon, Alpha House. They were kind of roommates. There were three senators living in a house together in Washington until recently.
So Chuck Schumer, Harry Reid, who's one of them, by the way, Harry Reid is an awful, just a horrible person. This is my words. What a piece of crap Harry Reid is. Harry Reid came out this week in his dark glasses looking like the Darth Vader he purports to be. And it was asked about the 2012 claim that Mitt Romney never paid his taxes and snickered like Dr. Evil and said, well, he didn't win, did he? I mean, he can't go away soon enough. He's just an outrage. So at any rate, he seems to have picked Chuck Schumer to be his heir apparent, even though Dick Durbin's been number two in the Senate forever. What's the backstory here?
Well, for quite some time, it's been evident that Harry Reid had kind of looked at Schumer to be the heir apparent, though Durbin still held the title of number two. And, you know, when Reid made the announcement, Schumer and Durbin had talked, and that's frankly where kind of the dispute comes into play, is that Durbin's camp maintains that Schumer made a commitment that Durbin would maintain the number two position, assuming Schumer succeeded Harry Reid. Schumer's camp privately says, no, there was no deal committed. And you've got Patty Murray, currently the number four, looking and not ruling out a bid to challenge Durbin for that number two spot.
So what do you make of what happened with this buddy-buddy friendly thing that now has turned into what appear to be arch enemies? And, you know, the thing is, the Republicans are the ones that are famous for fighting on camera. This is not typical of the Democrats to fight in public.
No, but when you do have these leadership battles, when they do come up, and they don't come up often, they're typically very messy affairs. But, you know, I think it was Bob Dole that said that one of the most dangerous places in Washington is between a TV camera and Chuck Schumer.
That's a great line.
Schumer's a very, very aggressive, never shy to speak out on anything. And I think for some reason Reid appreciated that aggressiveness, even though, you know, Durbin has been a regular in promoting the Senate Democratic message on all of the Sunday shows and traveled around the country to help Senate Democratic candidates. No, to me, it's not surprising to see this kind of flare up go. You know, we've got a whole year, you know, basically to see how Democrats do in the U.S. Senate elections, a lot of Republican seats at stake. And frankly, that may have something to do with the ultimate outcome.
Well, it feels like, and I got to get to the money clip here, but it feels like Senator Durbin got stabbed in the back. Am I overreading that?
Well, I think there is a question of loyalty. If you've been a loyal member of the leadership team, certainly there's a question of, you know, where does loyalty stand? But, you know, you're also talking about politics and aggressive politics, and loyalty tends to go out the window a lot of times.
And again, Harry Reid stood up on the Senate floor and made up a complete lie about this had nothing to do with Mitt Romney winning or losing, or whether he was qualified or wasn't qualified. He stood up as the head of the Senate, the majority leader in the Senate, and lied and then giggled about it. You know, the only thing missing was like a cat in his lap that he could pet while he was talking about it.
No, and certainly never bothered to back up the documentation that Romney didn't pay taxes.
A horrible person. I'd rather spend time with Gwen Stefani. Rick Pearson is on Twitter at RAP30, at Rap30. Let's continue on down the line with this multitude of topics here. Phil Ponce at the mayoral debate the other night asked a very uncomfortable question in the midst of it that seemed completely out of context at the time. Here's the moment.
Commissioner, if you can't keep your own son out of a gang, how can you steer...
Phil.
Excuse me? If you can't keep your own son out of a gang, how can you steer the city away from gangs and violence?
Chuy Garcia handled himself better in answering that question than probably any other moment in the campaign so far. And a question that for my money, my opinion, completely out of line. Now, to Phil Ponce's credit, yesterday he addressed it on his own show. He also addressed it prior to that when he was talking to Roe.
I think question number two crossed the line, and I regret asking that. I think I missed the mark on that one. Because in retrospect, there's no necessary connection, no nexus between being a good parent and keeping a kid out of a gang.
So, Rick, we've all been in those positions where maybe we've asked a question we'd like to get back, but that one seems so out of left field. I still don't understand where it came from. I mean, I understand the backstory, but the tone of the question, I mentioned this yesterday, it's like asking somebody, when did you stop beating your wife? There was just no way to answer that question without sounding like you were guilty.
Yeah, and, you know, to his credit, Phil did say about that it did cross the line. And quite frankly, I mean, the more substantive discussion, and I think he was trying to cleverly try to bring the conversation to, you know, what are your plans for addressing the issue of gang crime in Chicago? But the clever fell flat, and never, and as a result, we never got to a substantive discussion about that issue.
Well, I like Phil, and it's one of the reasons it stood out as so ridiculous is he doesn't make those kind of mistakes.
Right. That's right. I mean, he's always been regarded as one of the best debate moderators and when it comes to Chicago issues. And I'm sure it's, you know, part of this, too, is it's when you watch reporting, when reporting takes place, and that's what kind of debates are, it's at times like watching the sausage being made, and it's not always pretty and it's not always comfortable. And that's why when you see most debates, you don't find a lot of confrontational questions the way you might see it if you were out on the street with reporters at press conferences.
Backstory there for people not familiar with it is that Chuy Garcia's oldest, I think it's his oldest son, who's I think 30 or 31, had a previous gang history, which according to the family is no longer part of his life, and he's turned his life around. So we hope that's true.
Yes, and but as you said, Garcia did answer, brought that up as, you know, that he has turned his life around. And as you said, that was probably one of the best answers in the debate.
Maybe in a Ron deal today, the Blago book tour is on for Robert, and he explains to some extent why Rod won't talk to him. Hillary Clinton, it turns out she was using an iPad along with her phone. She forgot about that, too. None of it's a lie. It's all just forgetting. But before we run out of time here, which we already have, the mayor's race on Tuesday, we've got the election. Huge, huge disparity now in popularity in the poll. I think you guys had it at the Tribune at, what, 59-30 the other day?
58-30, yes, and a big shift among white voters.
So, I mean, Chuy needs to, Chuy Garcia at this point needs Rahm Emanuel to hold up Tiffany's or something between now and Tuesday, doesn't he?
Well, you know, one thing that, and if you look at the front page story in today's Tribune about the Latino vote, 4 years ago when Emanuel faced two Latino opponents, those two opponents got nearly 61% of the vote of Latinos. Chuy, this time in our survey among voters in Latino wards, is barely pulling 50%. And you would figure that that would be a natural base support vote. But still, what our poll found is that a lot of people still, despite all the scrutiny on this race, have no opinion favorable or unfavorable of who Jesus Chuy Garcia is.
So it still seems to be all about the rum.
Yes.
And you thought it was all about the base. All right. Sunday morning. It's the Sunday Spin with Rick Pearson, 7 a.m. It's all you need in politics, along with, of course, the great writing in the Chicago Tribune at chicagotribune.com. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Steve.